not my usual forte here to teach at a picnic, but when Bob and Jeannie and Barney and Bikina were together, it was like, who wants to teach at the picnic in August? And I went, I will! Because, you know, you have to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. And so this is unique, and we'll see how this tablet thing works and try it out. But anyway, this past week, I was studying about the word church, and I was thinking about our fellowship. And the word, does anybody know what the Greek word for church is?
Ecclesia.
And it basically means called out. But I decided to look up the Aramaic word and then to look at what the word picture of it was. And the word in Aramaic is kind of an unusual word. It's not used in every single place, but it's pronounced idtha, like I-D-T-H-A. You go, idtha. That sounds all weird, doesn't it? But anyway, the word picture means to see or experience the door of the strong one. So what the church is, a people, right? It's not a building, it's not a place. It always has to do with the people. But what the people, like us, are supposed to do is open the door so you can come in and learn about the strong one. Huh. Isn't that awesome?
That's cool.
I just got so blessed thinking about it and thinking about how all over the city right now, all over the world, people are meeting together to worship God, but also to learn about Him, to learn, like, how can I walk by the Spirit better? I mean, God has given us Holy Spirit, who He was and who He is. In all of the fullness that Jesus Christ had, He gave it as this gift to us freely. Just, there you go. It's yours now. And it's going to be a way that I can talk to you and walk with you and teach you things. And He's given us power. Desires what is opposed to the flesh, and the two of them are opposites to each other, so that you are not doing what you want. Now, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. It's saying walk by the Spirit instead of walk by your flesh, meaning your senses. So we have five senses in our flesh, in our body: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. We also have it five spiritual senses of seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and what did I miss?
Smelling.
Yeah. Have you ever smelled the devil's breath? Yeah. They stink really bad. And if you're smelling one, then you ask, you know, turn around and go, what is that smell? And somebody's like, I don't smell anything. Oh, it's a spiritual smell. Isn't that cool? So, yeah. Anyway, walking is an idiom that was very familiar to the first century church because they didn't have buses or trains or planes or cars or anything. They walked everywhere. Everybody walked everywhere. So it's a picture when you say walk by the Spirit. You're talking about how to live life. And it was natural for them to translate the word walk into how I conduct my life. So how do we conduct our lives? By the Spirit. So I thought of a really cool example that was maybe more along the lines of our day and time. And so I'm calling this teaching or sharing, whatever. How's my driving? Because we drive everywhere. We don't walk that much. And when you get in your car, you know, if you've driven for a long time and have especially been in California for a long time, you're pretty used to driving on the freeway. Well, when I first moved to California, this was back in 1990, I don't think I had ever driven on more than two lanes in my whole life. And so here we are, and I got a job. We lived up in Orange County, and we lived in Brea, and then I got a job down in Irvine. So it was about a 45-minute drive to get to work. I'm going, oh no, I have to learn how to drive on the freeway. Oh my gosh. And I also had a van that had a stick shift, which in Ohio was fine. On the freeway, it was not so much. Anyway, those first days that I was learning how to drive, God showed me some really, really cool things of a comparison of driving on the freeway with how to walk by the Spirit. So I want to tell you a little bit about the kind of drivers there are. All right. The first kind of driver I call the gripper. And I was like this at the beginning. I was like gripping the steering wheel going, oh my gosh, I'm getting God to unwrap. Now what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? You know, and it's the stereotype of the Sunday driver, right? And even now, you know, when someone's going 40 miles an hour onto the freeway, you go, really? Are you kidding me? Can you go a little faster? Because you are just blocking everything in back of you, and there's no way you can merge when somebody's going. Right? So, anyway, the lesson about how to live life with the gripper that you have to learn when you're driving, but also that we have to learn, is you've got to trust in the power of your car. And you need to learn how to go into the flow of life and just move with it and not be afraid. I mean, God said that in the manifestation. Like, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. What do we have to be afraid about? We have the power of God Almighty and His Holy Spirit inside of us. Go with the flow. Get in the lane. Don't hug over on the side and say, no, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Well, the first thing we need to know what to do is to just go, okay, I can do this, and then start listening. Because how are you going to hear the still small voice? Unless we tune our spiritual ears to it. And say, okay, which lane am I supposed to be in? How do I get there? Where am I going? And pretty soon, when you're driving, you get comfortable and peaceful, and then you just move from lane to lane. Okay, I have to get out of this exit. Smooth operation, unless you're. So, I think that's the lesson, is just to trust in the power of your car and move with the flow. Okay? So, now the second kind of driver, I call the mover. What lane should I be in? Some people always think that the next lane over is where. Is much better than where they are. Right? Okay, here I am in this lane. Oh, look, that's a little bit faster right over there. Okay, let me go over there. And then pretty soon you're stuck behind some truck or something. And then you go, oh, no, I better go over here. So, like this, right? Yeah. Well, I know people who live like that. Don't you?
Yeah.
Where they just never can make up their minds. They don't know what they're trying to do. They try so hard to get to their destination that they are not satisfied with life. Mm. One of the biggest keys of walking by the Spirit is to just get that peace inside and and just go, okay, show me what I'm supposed to be doing right now, and let me go do that. This morning I had to take my dear sister to the hospital, you know. And so you're going, but I'm supposed to teach today, and I don't know, but. No, she had a need, so go with it. You just go do what you need to do and what's in front of you. And at that moment is when God energizes the spirit and says, okay, this is what you need to understand, this is how you need to go there, and you can be peaceful in the middle of the most trying situations, no matter what they are. So we never have to be going like all over the place. All right, you want the third guy? Okay. He's always going really fast, and he like go speeding all the way up to the car right in front of him, and then jam on his brakes to go, oh, I went too far, and then speed up again. And if you're behind somebody like that, you naturally want to put your foot on the brake too, because his taillights are on, what's going on? Pretty soon though, you realize that they're just doing this thing, right? So I think the lesson in this one is, when you see somebody who has got an erratic kind of life like that, you have to kind of just move over and look at them from a different angle and go, okay, you want to do that? That's fine, but I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to get all anxious and worried and fretful and everything just because that person is. See what I mean? Yeah. And usually that kind of driver, if you know, they're passing you and they're so anxious to get someplace, you know, they're the ones that you see that the police have pulled over on the side of the road about half a mile down, right?
Yeah.
Okay? So the point is to take each step at a time and then really look around you. In order to walk by the Spirit, we have to have our spiritual eyes open too, where we see, oh, that's going on. And when you pay attention, that's when God energizes it. You know, you see that person over there? They have a need. They need this. Or you know, sitting in your office somewhere or something, and God just does this little nudge thing where they're like, you should call Jeffrey. You should call Jeffrey. I'm like, why? Well, because he has a need right now. And as soon as you say, yes, I'll do whatever that nudge is, then God tells you more about, well, this is wrong. This is not wrong. So we get a word of wisdom, actually, before we get the word of knowledge. Wisdom is the overall view, and what God is always trying to show us, the overall view. And when we look for that, then we get towards knowledge and say specifically what we should do. See how that works? It's great. It's just, I was also reading a book, this passage from it's my friend David, How to Be Led by the Spirit. Revelation is, it's either a nudge or a thought or kind of this push inside. He calls it an inward witness, which, well, that's not a biblical term necessarily, but it's the inward man. So when we're walking and we're observing things that are going on around us, then there'll be this nudge. I think that that's going to from your own voice. I remember the very first time that I ever really knew that I heard from God was I was at Emporia, and I'd been staying in the dormitory, and all the girls were in this one room, and so everybody had been ironing clothes and doing all this stuff, and I really just had this cry in my heart. It's like, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what it sounds like. I don't think I ever have. And so everybody was leaving the room. I think I was one of the last people to leave the room. And all of a sudden, I got a picture in my mind of the ironing board being on with the iron down on it. Like, it was still on. And I was like, is that you, God? Is that you? How come I? So anyway, I went back to look at the ironing board, and sure enough, that iron was face down. And it would have started a fire or whatever. I was so excited. I just ran out of the room and told everybody that I heard from God. I heard from God. He gave me a picture. It was so cool. And it's just when that happens, you're in awe, right? It could be a picture. It could be a voice. It could be any one of the spiritual five senses. But when you actually know that that was straight from God, it's so humbling. It's so freeing, too. That you're not alone. You're never going to be alone. You'll always have this connection. You know, God says that He'll never leave us or forsake us, right? He's always close. So He's always saying, come closer. Come be with me. Let me show you things. And so when we're observing and not, you know, just racing through life, being so busy that we're not paying attention to anything, we never get there very far, very fast anyway, right? So we might as well just kind of stop, breathe, and go, hey, what do you have for me today? Because life is a journey. It's a walk. It's a driving. And we're continually driving on this path. So we might as well do it with God and listen to His still small voice. And sometimes He'll give us some cool pictures. The third one that he had talked about was like an audible voice or something that comes up, like almost a phenomenon sort of thing, where this is Kenneth Hagin, he said that he probably had that happen maybe two or three times in his own life. So it's not the usual way that God talks to us, is in an audible voice. So you have this inward witness, this nudge, the pull or the draw, that when you turn and you focus your attention on it, then God's right there to tell you exactly what's going on and what you should do about it. So then, there are what I call the rubberneckers. They're always got to know what's going on, like, where is that accident coming from? And they have their heads turned like this, following the things that are going on. Oh, I'm supposed to be driving.
Yep.
But they got their necks going like a rubber band all over the place, all the time. They're paying attention to what everybody else is doing and not paying attention to God. Because you can't see two things at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. So we're either going to choose to look at the world and all the negatives that are in the world and listen to all of that and follow the drama that's going on all around us all the time, like that, to where you get so distracted that you're not even driving anymore. You're not going forward, for sure. And being very concerned about, you know, politics or this, or this is horrible in life. Did you know what happened with words, right? Yeah. about everything that's wrong all around us all the time, then that's a rubberneck. They can't focus on just doing what we talked about. Stay in your lane. Trust in the power of the car. Know that you're going to know exactly which place you're supposed to be in and how to maneuver. You know, we have GPS cool stuff now that just tells you, go in that lane. Go here. Your exit is coming up in 1/4 mile. Right? But before, when people learned how to drive, they didn't have that stuff. And you were in trouble if you were trying to look at the map while you were driving. So those are the rubberneckers. The pressures of life can really cause us to have our eyes get turned away, right? So again, it's like, where are your spiritual eyes going? I learned this again last time I went to Laguna Beach, because I have to drive up there, and right around Carlsbad, they're making some new HOV lanes, and they've narrowed the lanes down to, I mean, there's still 4 lanes, whatever, but they're much narrower than they normally are, and then they tell you you're supposed to go down to 55 in that section. Well, nobody is driving 55, you know. They're going like, okay, all of a sudden I feel like I'm in a straitjacket. And here's this giant truck right next to me, you know, and he's kind of like halfway over the line. And I'm going, okay, there's nowhere to go here. You can't go that way, and you certainly can't go that way, because that's where the truck is. And so what God showed me was that's the same kind of thing, is where the rubbernecking happens when things in life get narrow and hard and difficult and just narrow. Straightened is what King James talks about. And so in that situation, you have to really focus on, okay, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to look at that truck, and I'm not going to look at the people around me. I'm just going to steady as she goes. But it can be disconcerting. It's the same thing. Like, what are we looking at? Are we going to look at the problem? Are we going to look at the fact that it's a lot of pressure coming on right here, right now? I don't know what to do about that. Hey. I'm going to find joy in this journey, and I'm going to keep my mind and my heart steadfast upon God. Amen. Because He is the one who is the guide, the shepherd, the leader, the one who will never, ever forsake us. And He will always be there. Okay, the last one is called the sire. Sire. Especially in standstill traffic, he's bored and mostly oblivious to everything around him. He's frustrated, but expresses his frustration by not caring at all about anything. And the tendency of this kind of a person is to go, oh, well, I'm stuck here going 10 miles an hour. Let me just pull out my cell phone and check my text messages and feel looking all around and just, but really not looking at anything. Right? You've seen people like this, right? They're scary on the road. And then all of a sudden they're worried. Doing all, you know, let me play a radio, let me do something else here. And then all of a sudden the guy in front of them slams on the brakes because, you know, where you were going 10 miles an hour, all of a sudden now you're going 0 miles an hour. Because they were not paying attention to anything. So it's like almost the opposite of being distracted by everything around you, But in this case, they're not paying attention to anything except themselves. That's a really big key to walking by the Spirit, is we got to get our minds and our hearts off of ourselves and off of how horrible my life is and how I don't have this and I don't have that. And, well, shoot, I'll just, you know, spend my time watching TV all day long. What? It's not a profitable thing to do that. So, you know, to have to change from the to hallelujah, you know, or put on a praise tape, praise song thing, or, you know, say, there's 10,000 reasons for my heart to praise God. There's 10,000 more than 10,000 reasons to praise God every single day. So, we have time to be bored. And we don't have time to be looking inside and seeing how frail we are, how sick we are, how we don't have this and don't have that. Because who is the provider? Alright, so our spiritual eyes are on our provider. Fear in my life? Am I the weaver who's just always trying to, you know, maneuver through stuff? Or am I the speeder who's like going like this? Or am I the rubbernecker? I'm probably the rubbernecker. Instead, let's do what it talks about in Romans 8. So how is my driving spiritually? If I had that on a bumper sticker on my car, I would want the observation to be that I was driving smoothly. I was going in the flow of the traffic. I was observant of everyone around me. And I was quick and willing to always listen to that still voice or that nudge that says, come here. And that someone would look at my life and say, wow, I want to be more like that, because there's fruit. There's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. So it takes a lot of patience to drive on the freeway of life. Did you know that? Yeah. Okay, Romans 8:12. Now, my brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh, that we should walk in the flesh. So we're not obligated to walk by our senses. When we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we can choose which one we want to walk by. Do we want to walk by those five regular senses and just always be distracted by everything around us? Or do we want to walk by the spiritual senses? For if you live by the flesh or the senses, you're going to die. And if spiritually you put to death the habits of the body, you will have life. So we actually literally have to declare and make choices, specific choices, to choose whether we're going to walk by our physical senses or we're going to walk by our spiritual senses. But you will have life if you do that. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by which we call Father, my Father. And the Spirit gives testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. God, whose Spirit gives testimony all the time to our inside spirit, that gift, the power of the car we're living by and driving every day as much as we want. And it continually gives testimony. Yes, you're a son of God. Yes, I'm with you. Yes, I won't ever leave you. Yes, I will tell you what to do. Yes, I will guide you through every single situation, doesn't matter what it is. So, that's walking by the Spirit. How's my driving? Woo!
I think on the way to fellowship today, I ran into somebody who seemed like they had all those characteristics at once. Have you ever seen that? They're grippers, and then they become weavers and speeders, and then they're rubberneckers too. I mean, all of those combinations, man, wow, that is scary. The other thing I thought about too is to not be distracted by other